future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have an awesome episode in store today. I'm absolutely jacked up to be delivering it. We're going to be talking about fake stake attacks on chain-based proof of stake cryptocurrencies. This is a big one. There's been a lot of hidden investigations into this, and today we're going to talk about what's been going down, what it all means, and really kind of diving into the deep end. So really pumped about today's episode and delivering it as we do each and every day. Before we get down to business, I just want to say a big thank you to all of our new listeners. Welcome to the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. Great to have you here. And of course, welcome back to our regular listeners. We couldn't do it without you guys. And remember, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. It means so much to us here at SVK Crypto. So with that in mind, here's what's been going down the last 24 hours. So for all my Binance users, I know a lot of individuals in the crypto space use Binance, one of the biggest exchanges in the world. You can now use credit or debit cards. They've got a fiat on-ramp and off-ramp. So Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, has adjusted trading volume, which has made it easier and safer to buy cryptocurrencies. The exchange announced today that it's partnered with Israel-based payments processing firm Simplex to enable purchases with Visa and MasterCard and credit cards. This is huge because Binance before was only crypto to crypto. Mr. Chang Peng Zhao, so CZ, said the crypto industry is still in its early stages and most of the world's money is still in fiat. So, I mean, that's a pretty observant point. Building fiat gateways is what we need to do to grow the ecosystem, increase adoption, and introduce crypto to more users. Completely agree. Super exciting stuff. This is really big news. Binance, one of the largest exchanges in the world, before only crypto to crypto, now has a fiat on-ramp and off-ramp. Super, super exciting stuff. Big stuff is coming out of Binance. Listen, with that in mind, let's get down to business. Let's get into the show. All right, so let's get down to business. Proof of stake, POS cryptocurrencies, particularly those based on-chain based POS V3, so proof of stake version 3, are similar to Bitcoin in that they use the UTXO model and longest chain consensus rules. The key difference is that they replace the proof of work with proof of ownership of coins. Potential benefits of proof of stake approach range from reducing environmental impact to better security against 51% attacks. Many cryptocurrencies are in fact forks or at least descendants of the Bitcoin code base, with the proof of stake functionality grafted in. However, some design ideas are copied over insecurely, leading to new vulnerabilities that did not exist in the parent code base. So for this, let's just call them fake stake accounts. Let's call them fake stake attacks. So essentially they work because proof of stake version 3 implementations do not adequately validate network data before committing precious resources, disk and RAM. The consequence is that an attacker without much stake, in some cases none at all, can cause a victim node to crash by filling up its disk or RAM with bogus data. So if you look at this, you know, that means that a lot of the cryptocurrencies based on the UTXO and the longest chain proof of stake model are vulnerable to these fake stake attacks. I'll get on later to which cryptocurrencies could potentially be at risk. So let's go for a bit of background. So before going into the details of the vulnerabilities, we give some background on the relevant parts and how chain-based proof of stake works. So let's just set the scene. So similar to proof-of-work mining, mining in proof-of-stake consists of comparing the hash of a block header to a difficulty target. The higher-level goal of proof-of-stake is to ensure that each stakeholder's chance of mining the next block is proportional to the number of coins they control. To achieve this, in chain-based proof-of-stake, the hash depends on not just the block header, but also the quantity of coins included in a special coin stake transaction inserted in the block by the stakeholder. The exact details of proof of stake mining can be a bit involved. Proof of stake really depends on two things: The first, the CoinStake transaction, and two, the UTXO being spent on the CoinStake transaction. So the role of proof of work in guarding block validation resources. So it's well understood that proof of work plays an essential role in Bitcoin's consensus. Proof of work also plays a second, somewhat less appreciated role, which is guarding access to a node's limited resources, such as disk, bandwidth, memory, and CPU. So in a permissionless cryptocurrency network, peers must not be trusted. So to prevent against resource exhaustion attacks, Bitcoin nodes first check the proof of work for any received blocks before committing many resources, such as storing the block in RAM or on disk. However, it turns out that the checking of proof of stake is a lot more complicated and context sensitive. Well, you guessed it. Well, more than proof of work. As a result, many chain-based proof of stake implementations have skimped on the appropriate validation. So to understand how this leads to resource exhaustion vulnerability, we have to give a bit of detail on how the blocks are stored before being validated. A node must not only keep track of the longest chain at the current instant, but also a tree of fork chains. Any of them may turn out to be the longest chain, in which case the node needs to reorg to switch to it. This can happen, for example, during a botched upgrade, a double spend attack, or an Ethereum Classic under 51% attack, or temporary network participation. So validating these blocks off the main chain blocks is difficult. To fully validate the block, you need to set up unspent coins, so UTXOs, at the time of the previous block. So Bitcoin keeps the UTXO set for the current tip of the best chain. And not for all other past blocks, a fork could start from there. And the two main approaches for full validation of blocks on a fork. So number one, roll back the current view, the UTXO set, at the point before the fork begins, or store copies of the UTXO set for the earlier blocks. So Bitcoin's code base doesn't actually support option two. Even if it did, it would impose an additional storage cost. So the Bitcoin node performance relies aggressively on pruning unneeded data. So option one is exactly how the Bitcoin code base currently handles a reorg. However, this can be very expensive. So the rollback and full validation are deferred to the last possible moment when the proof of work in the fork is already greater than the current main chain. So instead, when a peer first receives a block or header that is not part of the longest chain, full validation is skipped and the block is saved to local storage. Before storing the block to disk, the Bitcoin codebase performs some preliminary validation based on the proof of work, but ignoring the transactions. The preliminary check only depends on previous block header and the current header, so a node itself can be doing this very quickly. And it's an effective defense because generating a valid proof of work that passes it is very expensive. So for example, although it's possible to trick a Bitcoin node into storing an invalid block on disk, it's prohibitively expensive to mount a resource exhaustion attack this way. So the preliminary check in proof of stake to validate the CoinStake transaction and check that it passes the difficulty target when hashed with the kernel on the previous block. Computing the hash on the CoinStake transaction is easy. The hard part is checking whether the input UTXO to the CoinStake transaction is valid and unspent. Since this requires checking the UTXO set, which, as mentioned earlier, is not available for past blocks because fully validating the CoinStake transaction is difficult. Most chain-based proof-of-stake implementations provide a heuristic or approximate check instead. It turns out that these approximations are often inadequate and can be exploited. So vulnerability one. So when you first investigate something like this, there's five cryptocurrencies you should look at. Qtum, Partel, Navcoin, HTML coin, and Emercoin exhibited a fairly trivial form of this vulnerability. Namely, they failed to check any CoinStake transaction at all before committing to block, to RAM, or disk. What these five cryptocurrencies have in common is that they adopted Bitcoin's header first feature, in which block propagation was split into two separate messages, block and header. Nodes only ask for block after header passes the proof of work checks, and it's the longest or longer chain, since the CoinStake transaction is present only in block but not the header. A node cannot validate the header on its own. Instead, it directly stores the header to an in-memory data structure, so a map block index. As a result, any network attacker, even with no stake whatsoever, can fill the victim's node's RAM. That's really interesting, because when you hear people talk about proof of stake and, you know, what's currently going down there, you know, there's a lot of issues with proof of stake. So, you know, while the fake stake attacks are simple in principle, you know, they underscore a difficult design challenge. So some ideas that make sense in proof of work do not translate over securely to proof of stake, given the high degree of code sharing from Bitcoin Core as upstream. Among proof of stake version 3 cryptocurrencies, you know, that are led to believe to be at risk, let's say, you know, it's tricky, because there's many that deserve investigation, and there's many that deserve the vulnerabilities to be found. But I think this is really interesting. What we're going to do is we're going to cover this a lot more and really go into detail on what cryptocurrencies, you know, could potentially be at risk from this. Proof of stake is potentially a way for Ethereum to move forward, so it's really interesting. Sharding's being discussed as well, but I really want to just kind of get into the detail of it today, how it works, what it is, and how it could potentially be of value, and some of the drawbacks as well. So listen, thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, remember, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. If you have any questions, feel free to reach myself, cstory, cstory, at svkcrypto.com. Hit us up on Telegram, svkcrowd. Also, if you have any further questions, queries, it all goes down in the Telegram. Join up now, svkcrowd. You know it makes sense. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention, as always. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. Let's go. That's a wrap.